You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we return here on Locked On Ravens, a Monday edition. Kevin Ostreicher here with you, and we can all just let out a collective sigh. Just utter disbelief on my end here of what's been going on with the Baltimore Ravens, currently scheduled to play on Tuesday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is one where there's so much going on, both with the Ravens situation, that's obviously what we'll be talking about here today, but just throughout the entire NFL, with all of what's happening with COVID and how it's affected teams, not just the Ravens. Last week was a massive, massive just coronavirus wave across the entire league. The Denver Broncos did not play with a quarterback on the roster on Sunday. They had to use a practice squad wide receiver, and that's because one quarterback tested positive and the other three were deemed close contacts. Now, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter about, well, why wasn't the Broncos game moved, but the Ravens and Steelers were? The Broncos only had that one positive test. The NFL, they've made an example of the Denver Broncos in this situation, and we'll talk about that more in this first segment. But the reason, long story short, before we get into a little bit of a longer story in the first segment with this situation, the Broncos, again, they had that one positive test. The Ravens, they've had over 20 positive tests. This is an outbreak in their facility. If they were to go on a football field on Thursday or on Sunday, there is big potential that they could have spread it throughout the team more, throughout staffers, throughout the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. There's a lot going on with the Ravens situation with this coronavirus outbreak. So in the first segment, I do want to talk about just what the heck is going on in Baltimore right now, because it is something to behold. It has been one of the crazier, wilder weeks in Baltimore Ravens history. I'd even call it the worst week in Baltimore Ravens history. I know there were a few weeks that probably could be in the running for this, but I don't know. It's just such a crazy week. So we'll talk about what's going on, what the updates are with the coronavirus situation, game updates, and everything like that in the first segment. Then in the second segment, I just want to talk about who is actually on this list. Well, you know, we'll be touching on names in the first segment, but I want to get into actually who's on this list, how it affects Baltimore for Tuesday if the game is played. At the time of this recording, the Ravens are scheduled to play on Tuesday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, that's something I'll use a lot, that phrase, at the time of this recording. This situation for Baltimore, it's been very fluid. There have been news updates coming out seemingly every hour, every couple hours. So I'm going to use at the time of this recording, because the information in this show could not be as up to date as recently as someone is listening to the show. So I do want that to be kept in mind. But at the end of the day, I do want to talk about who's on the list, game updates, and more things along those lines. And then in the final segment, we'll be doing our regular Monday tradition and talking about the scores around the AFC in Week 12, as well as getting into the playoff picture so far in the AFC through Week 12, talking about where the Ravens stand, and much more. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting for you Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here and just talking about what is going on in Baltimore right now. Currently, Baltimore, at the time of this recording, has over 20 players on their coronavirus list. And again, in the second segment, we'll be talking about just who those players are, all of them. But this is a situation where the Ravens are scheduled to play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Tuesday Night Football. And this situation, it would have been fine for Baltimore if, let's say, they didn't have a positive test on Saturday, or let's say they didn't have a positive test on Sunday, right? Then I can understand the reasoning behind Tuesday Night Football, even though the Ravens really don't have a team right now. But the reason, and we'll get back into this, why the Denver Broncos were forced to play without a quarterback on their roster as opposed to why the Ravens game was moved, I kind of mentioned it in the intro there. The Ravens right now have an ongoing outbreak, and people like Jay Glazer have been reporting that, look, this game is on. They're just waiting to see if there's going to be another outbreak in Baltimore. And what I have to say to that is, how can there be another outbreak when the one that's currently happening, the first one, isn't contained yet? There's no other outbreak. The one is still happening right now. Look, I completely understand the NFL wanting to send a message to the NFL, to the Broncos, to whatever about, look, if you're not following the protocols, we don't care how many players you have, you're going to go out there and you're going to play this football game. The Broncos, they didn't have an outbreak. So that game was able to be played. The Broncos called up a practice squad wide receiver who was a quarterback at Wake Forest at one point, and that was their quarterback for the game. That's the punishment, quote-unquote punishment, that they had to go through on Sunday. But for the Ravens, they had a positive test on Sunday. Willie Snead tested positive for the virus on Sunday. So the outbreak from Baltimore, it's still going. Guys were allowed, the Ravens were allowed back in the facility on Sunday night in one of the bigger, unbelievable moves I've seen in a long time. The Ravens have had a positive test for 8 consecutive days. 8 consecutive days. That's a lot of days. And it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. I mean, yes, the Ravens, it's been like 2 tests and it's been 1 test, but that does, 1 test is enough. 1 person having this virus is enough to go and spread it to a whole bunch of people. We saw that with Steve Saunders, the coach who the Ravens punished for his role in this whole outbreak, not wearing a mask, not reporting symptoms. That was really the main cause of this, if the reports are right. That was the main cause of this. So allowing players back in the facility, these tests are still coming up. Let's say the Ravens were allowed back in the facility on Saturday night. Willie Snead goes into the facility because he's registered some negative tests. There's a slip up. He doesn't wear a mask for a part of it. You know, he takes it down to eat. He takes it down to take a sip of water. There are other receivers around him taking sips of water with the masks down. Then you get the test back on Sunday. Willie Snead tests positive. Oh, man. Well, all the receivers were around him. Now we have to put all the receivers on the close contact list, or the receivers now have the virus. It's the same situation, even though the Ravens didn't go in on Saturday, they went in on Sunday. Let's say Patrick Queen, knock on wood, he doesn't have the virus, but let's just say hypothetically Patrick Queen has the coronavirus. He goes into the facility on Sunday night, and again, he takes his mask down to eat. He takes his mask down to take a sip of water. The other linebackers do the same thing. LJ Fort, Malik Harrison, Chris Board. Then Patrick Queen registers a positive coronavirus test on Monday. Then it just creates a whole other situation where you're extending the outbreak. You're threatening more people's lives with this thing. And that's the part to me that doesn't make sense as to why this game is still scheduled. You're putting people's lives at stake because this virus is one that the symptoms don't have to show in order for you to spread it. This is a virus where the positive test might not come back for 4 or 5 days, even though you've had the virus for 4 or 5 days. That's just what this is right now. So I understand the NFL trying to send a message. I actually somewhat agree to that point. It's a little ridiculous that the Broncos game maybe wasn't moved to Monday or to Tuesday because they didn't have a quarterback. I think that part could have been arranged. But at the same time, look, if you're not following the protocols, if you put your team in this situation, that's the situation you put your team in. But this outbreak is still going on. If the Ravens or the Steelers register positive tests after this game on Tuesday, if it's played, the NFL will have a hefty, hefty price to pay. They already look awful for how they've handled this situation so far this season. The NBA has handled it very well. I question their decision, the NBA, to not go back to a bubble. I get that it really, really strains players in the way of not being around their families, not being able to leave the bubble, and I totally understand and get that. But that seems to me like the only way that you can guarantee 100% safety throughout the organizations, throughout the leagues. And again, for the NFL, they had time to make regional bubbles. They had time to do all this different stuff, and they just utterly failed, and it's disappointing. It's disappointing that the Ravens were allowed back in the facility. The NFL is trying everything they can do to get this game played on Tuesday. But what are the ratings going to be for this game? Outside of diehard Ravens fans, people who cover the team, diehard Steelers fans, people who cover that team, Who wants to watch a skeleton crew offense led by Robert Griffin III? No offense, first of all, no offense to any of the players who are going to be playing in this game, but who wants to watch that? A skeleton crew offense, no depth, really no stars on that offense anymore, all gone to injury, gone to COVID. A skeleton crew offense led by Robert Griffin III against the best defense in football right now. And then on the defensive side of the football, you have stars out there too. The defense is also depleted due to also injury, COVID, against a Pittsburgh Steelers offense that seems to be clicking on all cylinders right now. I personally probably would want to watch a game with Lamar Jackson and with J.K. Dobbins and Calais Campbell in a good rivalry Ravens-Steelers matchup in Week 18. That's a game that I would tune into even if I wasn't covering this team, even if I wasn't a diehard Ravens fan or diehard Steelers fan covering the Steelers. That's a game I would want to watch because of the history behind those two teams, because it's Lamar Jackson versus Ben Roethlisberger. The NFL really wants this game to be played. I get it because of scheduling and this, that, and the other. But for the health and safety of these players, the best option is clearly to move this game to Week 18. Sure, you get a little bit of backlash from it, but again, if the Ravens, if there are positive tests for them after this game, if there are positive tests for the Steelers after this game, the NFL is just delaying this more and more and more, because then it starts to affect the Ravens for their matchup against the Cowboys. Then it starts to affect the Steelers for their matchup against the football team. That's what the reality of the world we're living in today. There has to be adjustments made, and the NFL so far has really shown a failure to do that. So I hope that this game gets postponed. It's not looking like it will. There's a difference between showing teams that this is what happens if you break coronavirus protocols, you have to play with what you have, and look, there's an active outbreak right now. We have to contain it before we can play a football game. And right now, the Ravens are currently in the latter of those two options. So in order to play this game on Tuesday, I personally think the Ravens need to contain this outbreak first. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we get back, we'll be talking about just who was on the COVID list for Baltimore, getting into how hard each player's loss will impact the Ravens. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. We are back with our second segment of this Monday edition of Locked on Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still hanging out with you here. And in this second segment, I want to get into just who is on the coronavirus list for this Baltimore Ravens team. It is an astronomical amount of players, a total of 23 by Monday's end if nobody comes off of the list. Now we're getting into this week, and we could see a few people who were placed on the list sometime early last week, a little bit over a week ago, come off the list. A few names who were eligible to come off of that list would be Trace McSorley and Iman Marshall. Other than that, there are potentially some close contacts. There have been rumors that DJ Fluker and Jalen Ferguson were close contacts, but we'll see. We'll see. The Ravens have been very mum as to who has actually tested positive for the virus and who is a close contact. So there could be some surprises. Now, there have been some definitive positives that have been reported throughout the league. Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, and J.K. Dobbins, Patrick Ricard, Mark Andrews, Willie Snead, Matt Skura, Patrick McCurry, Calais Campbell, Matthew Judon. Those are all guys who have been pretty much identified and confirmed as positive cases, but I do want to read through this whole list and go position by position as to just how big of losses these guys are, or how the Ravens can recover from not having a few at a certain positions. But this coronavirus list right now, it looks like a depth chart, and we could potentially see more cases on Monday. If there is a case on Monday, the NFL has no choice but to move this game. There's just no choice. You know, they're flirting with disaster by letting the Ravens back in the facility on Sunday. But if there is a test on Monday, it is pretty safe to assume that that person was in the facility on Sunday. So that's something where, yeah, that's just extending the outbreak. There are potentially more positive cases based off of that decision by the NFL. So let's jump in position by position here. We'll start with the quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson and Trace McSorley. Obviously, the loss of Lamar Jackson just feels insurmountable for the Ravens. This is a guy who pretty much is your offense. He's somebody who is a threat both through the air and on the ground. His dual threat ability as a quarterback makes people guess. He has a unique ability to him to keep the defense guessing, and we've seen that time and time again. Lamar Jackson has won the Ravens a lot of games by himself. Now, he's lost them a few as well, but this is somebody who the Ravens need on the offensive side of the ball. And Trace McSorley, you haven't really seen a lot of the Trace McSorley. His career stats are he's not attempted a pass. He's rushed one time for no yards. So this is a guy who won't be, quote-unquote, missed for Baltimore unless there have been little rumblings, and this is not confirmed by any stretch of the imagination. Please do not take it as that Robert Griffin III could be a close contact to Willie Snead. Again, not confirmed. I'm not reporting it. Just putting it out there that has been said among a few people that I've seen. That's not confirmed. It could just be pure speculation or just something that's completely made up. But I wanted to bring it up because if that is true and Robert Griffin III goes on the COVID list, that means Tyler Huntley, the practice squad quarterback, will be the only quarterback on Baltimore's roster eligible to play on Tuesday unless Trace McSorley is able to come off of the list prior. And that would lead Huntley to be somebody who is an undrafted rookie out of Utah, has never thrown an NFL pass both in a preseason game or a regular season game, and he's going out there against the best defense in the NFL. Hopefully, the Robert Griffin III news is nothing. I would potentially assume it's nothing, although again, I can't be certain in these times. But Robert Griffin III is somebody who beat the Steelers last season. He's somebody who threw for under 100 yards, but was still able to get it done and make throws in big spots. And so Griffin is somebody who's looking for a shot, and he's going to get it here. But the loss of Lamar Jackson is something that's going to be tough for Baltimore to overcome. The running back department has both Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins on the list. Now, Ingram right now has not been playing very well. I think that's been well documented throughout the course of the season. But for J.K. Dobbins, this is somebody who has really started to come into his own as both a runner and a pass catcher. Now, Dobbins has a bit of Ingram in him, and what I mean by that is he has the ability to bounce off of tackles, and that's the first thing I noticed. The first thing I saw when the Ravens played in the preseason with Mark Ingram a year ago was Mark Ingram had that kind of bowling ball ability to bounce off of tackles, make things happen after first contact. J.K. Dobbins has those things, but he does it in a bit of a power way and a speed way. He's somebody who can brutally run you over in the run game if you're a defender, but also juke you out of your shoes. He has great balance, some of the best balance I've ever seen. It's been likened to Ray Rice on the football field, and I see a bit of that as well. Now, the Ravens will be relying on Gus Edwards and Justice Hill to carry the load here. I'd expect a heavy, heavy dose of Gus Edwards in this game. I have a feeling Baltimore, if this game gets 14-0 Steelers early, they're just going to want to run this clock down, get the heck out of Pittsburgh, and start planning for Dallas. This is a lost cause at this point. If that does happen, it'll be tough for the offense to come back from that. Now, it's not impossible. I'm not saying just give up right there, but I think Baltimore is going to want to have this one end quickly if it does get out of hand pretty early. And Justice Hill is somebody who is a speed-ish guy, but actually is more of a power guy. You know, he's not that flashy speed guy. Very agile, has great elusiveness. Him running is just a treat to watch when he gets into open space, but I would expect a heavy dose of Gus Edwards in this one. Patrick Ricard, the fullback, has tested positive. He is out for this game, and that's a big loss for the Ravens because they utilize a lot of their personnel around Patrick Ricard in those heavy sets. The Ravens do not have a backup fullback, so we could see potentially Gus Edwards fill in as that backup fullback. We could see tight ends go and play that fullback role to an extent, but Ricard is a big loss for this Ravens offense, even if the quote-unquote box score numbers are not there for him this season. Mark Andrews, prayers up to Mark Andrews. Prayers up to everybody on the Ravens team, but Mark Andrews was deemed high risk because of his type 1 diabetes diagnosis that he has, and this is something that's really scary. James Conner of the Steelers tests positive. He is a cancer survivor, so he is designated as high risk. Two guys who, great people. James Conner's a great story. Mark Andrews is a great story. But this is the scary reality of this virus, is that it can affect anyone. It doesn't care who you are. It's not going to give anybody a break. Now, there's a doctor, I think the interview was done on Baltimore Sun, that says that, look, if Mark Andrews' blood sugar levels are healthy, then he should be completely fine, and the virus would not affect him any more than it would a regular person. So I hope that is the case. Andrews is a huge loss. He accounts for most of the Ravens' receiving yards and touchdowns, and for Baltimore, they're going to be relying on Luke Wilson, maybe Eric Tomlinson, Sean Colkin is their tight ends. They lose Andrews and Boyle. you know, two stalwarts in their offense and guys who made this offense work. So those are big losses. Willie Snead has also tested positive. He is a big loss for them as well. He's somebody who is a reliable guy out of the slot. Again, it's not going to wow you with box score numbers, but he's a good blocker. He's a veteran presence. And this will, I think, give an opportunity to James Prochet. Snead usually operates out of the slot where Prochet usually operates out of. We could see more Marquise Brown in the slot in this game. Three receiver sets with Miles Boykin and Dez Bryant on the outside, potentially. Even some Devin Duvernay mixed in there. So the Ravens, the wide receiver position has not been severely impacted by this virus at the time of this recording. But still, Willie Snead is somebody who the Ravens will definitely miss. On the offensive line, Matt Skura, Patrick McCarvey, DJ Fluker, and Will Holden all are on the COVID list. And this is something where the Ravens now are left with six healthy offensive linemen. One of them is RJ Prince, a player who was signed just last week to the practice squad. They also have Orlando Brown, Bradley Bozeman, Tristan Colon Castillo, Ben Powers, among others there. And this is something for Baltimore where they're going to have to roll out a lineup that has no chemistry together. Potentially, you're rolling out Orlando Brown at left tackle. You're rolling out Bradley Bozeman at the left guard position. You have Tristan Colon Castillo at center, Ben Powers at right guard, and RJ Prince, who can play both guard and tackle, I believe, at tackle. I mean, the Ravens are just depleted on the offensive line. It's going to be really tough for them to get a push up front. And, I mean, Patrick McCarvey played pretty well. Will Holden played pretty well. DJ Fluker has had his moments. So, big losses for Baltimore there. On the defensive line, Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, Justin Madubuike, Jihad Ward, and Broderick Washington all are on the coronavirus list. Now, there is potential that Brandon Williams is going to be able to come off of this list. He was deemed a close contact, so he potentially can come off of this list and play, assuming his ankle is healthy. He might not be healthy enough to play, but I do believe he's going to come off this coronavirus list, unless it has been reported and deemed that he does have the virus in the coming days, although I pray that that is not the case. The Ravens are left with three healthy interior defensive linemen. Derek Wolfe, Justin Ellis, and Aaron Crawford, who's on the practice squad. Justin Ellis has not impressed. Aaron Crawford, again, a practice squad player. Derek Wolfe is somebody who's going to get probably 100% of the snaps. Yannick Ngakoue is listed as a defensive end, but he is playing the outside linebacker role for Baltimore. Which, speaking of, let's move on to the outside linebackers, Matthew Judon, Pernell McPhee, and Jalen Ferguson. This leaves the Ravens with three outside linebackers, I believe, in Yannick Ngakoue, Tyus Bowser, and Chauncey Rivers, who was on the practice squad. So Baltimore is just depleted in every sense right now, pretty much. Now, the interesting part of this is the cornerbacks on the COVID list are Amon Marshall, Khalil Dorsey, and Tavon Young, all who are on injured reserve right now. So that actually does not have any impact on the cornerback room. They should still have Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith if he's healthy enough, Tremont Williams, maybe Pierre Desir gets a call up from the practice squad, and there are some guys who could fill in there. And then finally, Morgan Cox, the only special teamer to be on the COVID list. The Ravens have protected a long snapper by the name of Nick Moore, who played for the Tampa Bay Vipers in the XFL. So that's something to keep an eye on, because the Wolfpack has been Morgan Cox, Justin Tucker, and Sam Cook. Those guys have continuity, so inserting Nick Moore there, we'll see if there are any hiccups there. But overall, Baltimore is going to have to go through a ton of adversity in this game. They're going to have to call up their entire practice squad, pretty much. And we'll see. We'll see how this one goes. I still don't think it should be played on Tuesday, but if it is the case, the Ravens will have to see what they have in some of these young guys. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we get back, we'll be talking about the scores around the AFC in Week 12, as well as the playoff picture through 12 weeks so far in the AFC. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy, they're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars with low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We are back with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Monday Edition episode. Kevin Allstriker is still hanging out with you here. And we just finished talking about the crazy coronavirus situation that is still ongoing in Baltimore. But now let's take a look around the NFL in Week 12 and look at the AFC scores as well as the AFC playoff picture. So we'll start on Thanksgiving, which could have been a day the Ravens played, although it was not meant to be. On Thanksgiving, the Houston Texans defeated the Detroit Lions 41-25. The Texans moved to 4-7 while Detroit falls to 4-7. Deshaun Watson completed 17-25 passes for 300. 118 yards and 4 scores. Duke Johnson had 9 carries for 37 yards. And Will Fuller had himself a day, 6 receptions for 171 yards and 2 scores. That's a 28.5 yards per catch average. And now moving to Sunday's games, we'll start in Buffalo, where the Buffalo Bills defeated the Los Angeles Chargers 27-17. Buffalo moves to 8-3, while the Chargers fall to 3-8. Justin Herbert completed 31 of 52 passes for 316 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception. Austin Eckler, in his return from injury, had 14 carries for 44 yards, but also had 11 receptions. Josh Allen went 18-24 for 157 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception, despite briefly leaving with an injury. Devin Singletary had 11 carries for 82 yards and no scores for him. Next, we'll go to Indianapolis, where the Tennessee Titans defeat the Indianapolis Colts 45-26. Tennessee moves to 8-3, while Indianapolis falls to 7-4. Tennessee takes sole possession of the AFC South lead. Ryan Tannehill went 13 of 22 for 221 yards, 1 touchdown, and no interceptions, while Derrick Henry had 27 carries for 178 yards and 3 touchdowns. Most of his production came in the first half, and the Titans just ran away with this one in the first half. Phillip Rivers went 24-42 for 295 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception, while Nyheim Hines, who dominated in the first matchup between these two teams, was held to 10 carries for 29 yards. Next, the Cleveland Browns defeat the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville 27-25. Cleveland moves to 8-3, while Jacksonville falls to 1-10. Baker Mayfield went 19 of 29 for 258 yards and 2 touchdowns, while throwing his first touchdown pass since Week 7. The Browns had big contributions from their ground game, as Nick Chubb had 19 carries for 144 yards and a score, and Kareem Hunt had 10 carries for 62 yards. Mike Glennon in this game for Jacksonville went 20 of 35 for 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, while James Robinson had 22 carries for 128 yards and a score. Next in Cincinnati, the New York Giants defeat the Cincinnati Bengals 19-17. New York moves to 4-7, while Cincinnati falls to 2-8-1. Daniel Jones went 16-27 for 213 yards before leaving with an injury, and then Colt McCoy took over and went 6 of 10 for 31 yards. Wayne Gallman had 24 carries for 94 yards and a score. For the Bengals, Brandon Allen went 17-29 for 136 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 interception in the Bengals' first game without Joe Burrow, who tore his ACL last week. The New England Patriots defeat the Arizona Cardinals 20-17 on a game-winning Nick Folk field goal. New England moves to 5-6, while Arizona falls to 6-5. Kyler Murray went 23 of 34 for 171 yards, no touchdowns and 1 interception. Cam Newton went 9 of 18 for 84 yards, no touchdowns and 2 interceptions, while James White scored twice on the ground. Next, we talk about the New York Jets, who fell to 0-11 on Sunday after taking a 20-3 defeat at the hands of the Miami Dolphins. Miami moves to 7-4. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 24 of 39 for 257 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. For the Jets, Sam Darnold, in his return to action, had 16 completions out of 27 attempts for 197 yards, no touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. The Atlanta Falcons took it to the Las Vegas Raiders as they win 43-6. Atlanta moves to 4-7, while Las Vegas falls to 6-5. Derek Carr went 22 of 34 for 215 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception, while Josh Jacobs had 7 carries for 27 yards and no scores there. The Denver Broncos, without a quarterback, lose 31-3 to the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans moves to 9-2, while Denver falls to 4-7. Taysom Hill in this one went 9 of 16 for 78 yards and an interception. Latavius Murray had 19 carries for 124 yards and 2 scores. Alvin Kamara had 11 carries for 54 yards, and Taysom Hill had 10 for 44 and 2 scores. For the Broncos, Kendall Hilton, the practice squad wide receiver who was called up to play as the Broncos had no quarterbacks, went 1 of 9 for 13 yards and 2 interceptions, while Royce Freeman led the way with 50 yards on 8 carries for the Broncos' ground attack. And then finally, the Kansas City Chiefs defeating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-24. Kansas City moves to 10-1, while Tampa Bay falls to 7-5. Patrick Mahomes went 37-49 for 462 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and Tyreek Hill, 13 receptions for 269 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's a 20.7 yards per catch average. So now with the AFC scores done, let's take a look at the AFC playoff picture. The Pittsburgh Steelers, pending the potential Tuesday night game between the Steelers and Ravens, are in first place at 10-0. Kansas City is in second place at 10-1. The Tennessee Titans are in third place at 8-3, and the Buffalo Bills are not far behind at 8-3. They are the 4 seed. Cleveland is 8-3, and they are the first wildcard spot with the 5 seed. The Miami Dolphins are 7-4 in the 6th slot. Indianapolis is 7-4 in the 7th seed, and the Baltimore Ravens would just be on the outside looking in on the playoffs. They are currently 6-4, and if this game is played on Tuesday, it's very likely they probably fall to 6-5. Baltimore definitely wants the Titans to win the AFC South, as Baltimore has the tiebreaker with the Indianapolis Colts for a wild card spot, but not the Titans. They also were hoping the Patriots don't make a late push, as Baltimore does not have the tiebreaker with them. They would have the tiebreaker over Cleveland. I believe they'd have the tiebreaker over Miami. And other than that, they might not have the tiebreaker right now with Las Vegas, but that changes based off of strength of conference opponents and strength of victory. So Baltimore right now on the outside looking in, and they could potentially fall all the way to the number 9 seed after Tuesday's game if that game is played. But Baltimore has a cakewalk schedule at the back half, and this is an every week league, so you can't take any game for granted. But it's completely possible that Baltimore wins out and sneaks into the playoffs. That's all I have for you today. When we get back tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk from us, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.